Chapter 1. I grabbed the coffee David handed to me like it would save my life. After 2 months, I was still waiting for him to become tired of my nonsense and leave. Instead, he was half moved in, was friends with my friends, and fed me breakfast. Why couldn't I trust he'd keep on doing it, or that I wouldn't do something to make him run? "Are you ready to talk yet, Charity?" he asked. I hoped he'd just forget the conversation. Granted, he had a point about me going behind his back to meet a source on my last case. But nothing happened. The guy was an accountant. What was he going to do? Audit me to death? Okay, I didn't relish the idea of any kind of audit, but it wouldn't put me in the hospital either. "Aren't you on your way to work?" If I delayed enough, maybe he'd forget about it. "I mean, we can't stop in the middle, so you can run off to keep our streets safe from criminals." He picked up his phone and showed me the text he'd sent to his boss. "Running late." "Fine, how about I say sorry and we just move on?" We'd been down this path before and nothing changed. He wanted me safe. I needed to take risks to do my job. Just because I wasn't a cop with a gun and a badge like him didn't mean I couldn't work my cases. "We keep getting stuck." He topped up his coffee. "You think I'm trying to get in your way. I'm not. You do what you want and then say sorry. Then you do it all again." I couldn't look him in the eyes, and the only other view was the finger dock outside my front door. Even I couldn't pretend to be fascinated by the concrete and floats for more than a few seconds. I didn't deliberately go out of my way to annoy him. I needed to be free to act on tips and do my job. "So what do you want to do? If you can't deal with me as I am, you don't have to be here." Why did I say stuff like that? I'm not a kid, and I didn't want him to go. I might love him, but saying the words was a step too far. "I'm not going anywhere," he said. "Unless you're done with me, I'm here for good." I didn't say anything. What could I say? "I took risks before," I said. If we were going to have this conversation, I could try to be honest about my feelings. "It feels like you don't believe I can do my job." "I'm not trying to stop you," David said. He reached out and touched my hand. "When you disappear, I'm afraid you aren't simply following a clue, but that someone has beaten you again." It hadn't been that often, although his definition of too often probably differs from mine. "I'm not eager to end up in the hospital again either. I am careful." Ugh, now I sounded whiny. If this is what love does to me, I'm out. Most of my cases are administrative stuff. I don't run after murderers every time. I don't expect you to call me every time you go off to catch a criminal. He raised an eyebrow. I wasn't going to let him off the hook with that. If he had a real reason for the difference between us, he needed to say so. I wasn't a regular civilian. I was a successful private investigator. "I'm part of a team," he said. "If I go missing, someone will come looking. If you go missing, no one knows. I don't want to read your name on a list in the morgue." "Drama queen, the last time my life was in danger, you were right there. In fact, I was only involved because the cops needed my help." "Yes, but you didn't do as we asked. You went in after her. You pushed until she started to fight." He emptied his mug and shoved it to the center of the table. "We're off topic. I'm aware you have to follow the case. I don't want you to stop being you. I want to know when I need to send in the cavalry." "It doesn't feel like that. You help me with information. Why isn't that enough?" My head didn't want to fight on this, but every instinct kept me from agreeing. I wouldn't promise anything I couldn't guarantee. "Think of this as more assistance. I swear I won't try to stop you. I think you are very capable. You've solved some pretty dangerous cases." "So what do you want? This argument needs to end. It's going to get in the way all the time. He leaned back in his chair like I'd said something profound that he had to think over. Hadn't I asked him this before? Or had the words only happened in my head? If you got into trouble or thought you might be getting into trouble, would you call Val or Matthew or any friend? He asked. Light started to dawn. I've done it before. Let him say it. But not me. You don't ask me for advice, and I've heard you ask Rory about a client. Because you are a cop, I shook my head when he tried to speak. You have to uphold the law. How can I ask you for advice on nosing around if what I'm doing might be a little shady? How can I ask you about a source when they might be a criminal? I thought this was all about controlling you, he said. So you are protecting me? You don't need to do that. I wasn't going to tell him he also tried to protect me way too much. Maybe because it was all in my head. How do I know where the lines are? We can figure the details out, he said. As long as you don't ask me to look away while you kill someone, we should be fine. Keep the details vague. I promise I won't bring you into protective custody for taking a risk. I can try that. I didn't have a case even close to risky right now, so it was an easy thing to say. My phone rang before he could do anything more than nod.